getting outdoors safely this season. Summer is wonderful, but for many people in Maine, September and October are prime time. The crowds have subsided. There's a crispness in the air, and of course, it's time for the glorious fall foliage color to make its way through the state. And this year, it's especially desirable to get outside since it's one of the safest ways to enjoy yourself during the pandemic. Do you have hiking or biking fever right now? I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we have a Friday treat for you. We're going to talk about outdoor recreation in the state. We'll talk about getting outdoors safely and also trends in outdoor recreation. And we're hoping to hear from you. Share your secret spot or newfound favorite activity. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news update. From Maine Public Radio, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. There is still plenty of good weather for getting outdoors, and it's one of the few COVID-safe ways to enjoy yourself during the pandemic. Today, we will hear about the range of places and ways to explore Maine's great outdoors, and we want to hear from you. Where do you love to go? Joining me, Abby Gingras, who is Associate Audience Editor at Outside Magazine. She worked on a special issue with Down East Magazine highlighting outdoor recreation in Maine. Also with me, Carol Ann Ouellette, Director of the Maine Office of Outdoor Recreation, and Matthew Polstein, owner and operator of the New England Outdoor Center. As always, we want to hear from you. Are you looking for new activities or hidden gems in and around Maine? Would you like to suggest a favorite place for an outdoor adventure? You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post a comment to our Facebook page, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Welcome to all of you. Carol Ann, you may have the best job in the state of Maine.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thanks for having us. And it is a pretty remarkable job. You're right. I'm very lucky.
Your job is to find out all the great things to do for outdoor recreation in Maine. But let's talk about outdoor recreation seriously a little bit. How has this been affected throughout the state during the pandemic?
Yeah, so really interestingly, the pandemic has certainly, as people have grappled with the effects of COVID-19, outdoor recreation has really been essential to kind of maintaining physical and mental health. So we've seen, not only in Maine, but across the country, there were studies that showed that less than 50% of Americans enjoyed outdoor experiences last year. And a recent survey showed that over 81% of people are in the outdoors, 32% of those people turning to the outdoors for the first time. So that's really exciting that we're seeing more people move into the outdoors and enjoy so much of what Maine has to offer. And that's shows up in increases in boating and fishing and camping, hiking. I know there's been increases in ATV registrations, increases in sales of gear related to the outdoors. So all of that is just such a positive piece for people during this time, and learning new places to go and learning new skills.
Matt, what are you seeing? What are you seeing in your part of Maine and in the wilderness?
We have been extremely busy since July 1st when the state really opened back up. We've had tremendous use of the trails in our area, both in Baxter State Park, the new National Monument, and then outside the park on various conservation lands and even land right behind the New England Outdoor Center where we have bike trails.
Wow. Okay. And so would you say since July 1, even busier than usual?
Our lodging for July and August, which is the most measurable metric I have, is the best we've ever seen it. It exceeded last year, which was a best year for us and a growth year. And had we had more capacity, it would have been significantly busier. We have a brand new set of bike trails that we've been building behind Twin Pine Camps up on Hammond Ridge. And that, it's hard to compare because it's new, but there were 20, 30 people a day riding that trail system this year. And I know Baxter State Park has been extremely pressured with day use booked and full in terms of overnight use all summer long.
Yeah, and are many, anecdotally, are the people who are coming there, are they people coming from within Maine, or are these out-of-state visitors looking to come to Maine to... Go ahead.
We've seen both, but I think the most exciting thing this summer has been the presence of Mainers who typically might have traveled out of state but chose to stay in state, viewing that as a safer option. It's been wonderful to see so many people from Maine coming and exploring our part of the state, and many of them saying, I've never been here before, but you can bet I'm coming back, because they're really happy with what they're finding.
Yeah, and if I could just jump in really quickly, Jennifer, I know state parks have seen a pretty dramatic increase in Mainers visiting different state parks across the state as well.
All right. Abby, you're not in Maine, so I'm interested in your perspective. Do you hear from your community of friends in the outdoors world that many people are interested in getting away from the pandemic by coming here?
Yeah, we've definitely seen a real hunger from our readers and just from my friends as well to be outdoors and be doing these activities. I think we've seen like a real hunger for activities that can also be distanced. So things like camping, hiking, surfing, anything you can do solo or like well apart from other people. I think people are looking for those activities, and like Carol Ann said, have really needed them for their mental and physical health during this crazy year.
Talk to me about Maine's reputation. I know Outside Magazine covers some of the most beautiful places, not only in the country, but around the world, beautiful places for people to get outside and do recreational activities. Is there a certain reputation that Maine has?
Yeah, I would say Maine and then New England as a whole are known as like a great outdoor hub. They have a huge outdoor recreation economy that I'm sure Carol Ann can speak to as well. But yeah, I mean, where else in the country can, within a few hours, you can get mountains and beaches and rock climbing crags and just every sort of outdoor adventure activity you can think of. You're never far from it in Maine and in New England. And so I think it has a really great reputation in that arena.
All right. Well, I'm going to put each of you on the spot and have you talk about some place that you really, really love that maybe is a little less known. I won't ask you to give your super top secret favorite spot, but Carol Ann, I'll start with you. Where would you recommend for especially September, October, maybe a fall hike or fall bike ride?
Sure. One thing that I did recently, so I live in Jackman, and one of the places I went recently was I hiked Number 5 Mountain, which is just south of Jackman, more towards Parlin Pond. And, you know, when you think about the fall, what a wonderful way to, you know, be out there and see the foliage and just spend time in open space. So that's a quick one nearby to my hometown.
All right, Number 5 Mountain, and that's a hiking mountain.
Yes, it is. Yep. Nature Conservancy has really done a beautiful job of improving the trail there, and it's just, when I was there on a weekend, there were just two of us on the whole mountain, so it was pretty amazing.
Wow. Matt, what about you?
There are so many in the Katahdin region, it's hard to pick, but I think one I would offer is the Ice Caves Trail, which is also on Nature Conservancy land, the Debskany Lake Wilderness area. It's just a little over a mile in off the Heard Pond Road, easily accessed and easily done in just a couple of hours. It's called the Ice Caves because there's a cave that even through August and sometime into early September actually holds ice. So it's a nice place to cool off when the summer's warm. That's a neat feature of the trail. There are huge glacial erratics all along the trail carved off Mount Katahdin. And there's a beautiful scenic overlook that lets you, in the fall, look over first Debskany, which is a pond below this overlook, and the beautiful forest that surrounds it in fall colors.
Wow, I've never heard of that. The Ice Caves Trail, fantastic. Abby, you spent some time here working on the special feature that you did with Down East Magazine. Is there a part of Maine you fell in love with?
Yeah, last summer, actually, I spent some time on the Skudik Peninsula in Acadia, and I just loved it there. I know that the campground's closed this year because of COVID, but I think it's a beautiful area and, like, definitely less crowded than other parts of Acadia can be, which I think people are really looking for right now. So I would definitely recommend that. And then outside of Maine, I'm really familiar with Vermont, and I would recommend hiking Mount Hunger. It's near Waterbury and Stowe in Vermont. And it's just a beautiful trail, great vistas at the top, and like a good challenge, but not too hard. I think a lot of people overlook that trail.
Caroline, I know way back in the spring when we talked about getting outdoors during COVID, during the pandemic, one of the big concerns was people maybe not putting themselves, maybe putting themselves into danger and putting themselves in a position in which they might have to be rescued and therefore putting rescue crews at risk. You mentioned that when you hiked Number 5 Mountain, you were one of two people. What are you hearing statewide? Are people being pretty good about maybe not pushing their limits this summer, doing safe and reasonable hikes, or are you having to do a lot of rescues with this many more people out on the trails?
Yeah, I think for the most part, people have been really good, and I, you know, it's sort of this recreate responsibly approach to things, and there is a national coalition, but even among a number of organizations and state agencies, so really kind of ticking off the things, know before you go, just making sure that where you're going to visit, check the status, you know, have a plan B, plan ahead, to your point, Jennifer, bring the right gear, make sure you've got food, water, you know, hand sanitizer, whatever it might be that you need, you know, and certainly when you're out there, practice physical distancing. So make sure that you've got your mask with you and that you're doing things the right way and heeding all the COVID guidelines. And to your point, again, play it safe. So it is really important to just slow down and choose activities that are that work with your skill sets. And if not, you know, think about hiring a guide or going with an outfitter to learn something new or get to a place that you may not know as well. But there's, you know, there's other things we know, looking at Leave No Trace, that's probably been the biggest thing with the increase in traffic in the outdoors, is making sure just, you know, learning to, you know, be very good about taking everything out with you when you're going in, keeping it clean, leave what you find, minimize campfire impacts, respect wildlife. And also Maine has got an incredible amount of access to private lands. Very unique to Maine is that shared public access. And just really being conscious of the fact that a lot of those are working farms and forests, and it's a privilege. So to heed any signs, any notices from private landowners, and to really understand that that's important to keep that access open to us.
Yeah, Matt, I'm wondering if at your properties you ask visitors to maybe leave a note where they're going every day, or let someone know just as a matter of safety.
That's a great recommendation, Jennifer, and we do try to do that and recommend that people, whenever they're headed out into the woods, let someone know not only where they're going, but when they expect to return. Carol Ann covered some great points. I would just add to her comments that many of these trails and outdoor experiences are managed and maintained by volunteers or nonprofits, and their budgets have been pushed hard this summer with all the increased use. This is particularly true with urban trails, and if people are out using trails, I would urge them to remember that they weren't built for nothing, and while they may be free to use, it's not free to maintain them. So if you can join a club or a land trust or provide a little support to the people that are maintaining your favorite trail, that's a great thing to do. The other thing I would say in terms of safety at this time of the year, it was 30 degrees this morning when I got up in the Millinocket area, and temperatures are dropping quickly. So if you're recreating on the water, water's going to cool off quickly. You need to be much more careful out on the water, and you need to be well prepared if you're getting above the tree line for temperatures below freezing.
Great, great advice. We're going to go to Carrie, who's calling from Yarmouth. Hi, Carrie, go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for taking my call. So I'm the founder of Chimani. So we've been making mobile app travel guides for national parks for the last 10 years. But I wanted to just let your listeners know, this week we just launched our first outdoor recreational guide for Maine, specifically just for the state. So it's got all of the land trusts, it's got complete public coastal access, a list of those, as well as all sorts of outdoor recreational activities that folks would want to do within Maine. So I just wanted to share that with your listeners, and excited to have it as a new resource.
Great, Carrie. And when you say a guide, are you talking about a virtual guide? This is an app?
Yeah, exactly. So we it's bundled within all of our other guides that we do. And so it's all based on the mobile app. It's also accessible through a website as well, but it's primarily based within a mobile app. That's primarily what we work on.
That's congratulations. And I invite you to go onto the Maine Calling Facebook page and leave some more information under the comments section of today's post so that those who are not listening by holding a pen in their hand can find out about it later. We are going to take a quick break. We'd love to hear about your favorite spot to recreate in Maine and maybe your new favorite activity. Have you taken up something that you never tried before, whether it's mountain biking or kayaking or something that maybe other people haven't even heard of? Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Ocean View at Falmouth, an active retirement living campus proudly supporting Saturday Afternoon Opera, which airs tomorrow on Maine Public Classical. Waterville Creates, encouraging you to support arts and culture in central Maine by making your gift today at watervillecreates.org. And the University of Maine at Augusta, committed to providing a quality, affordable education online and in the classroom. UMA.edu.
As worries rise about election integrity and security, we check in with the top election official in a key battleground state.
In Arizona, every tabulation room across the state is on video, and so anyone can go to a county elections website and watch that tabulation as it's happening.
Next time on The Takeaways, Politics with Amy Walter from WNYC and PRX.
And that's coming up this evening at 8 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio. Time is running out. Our All Cars Considered car donation campaign, powered by Lee Auto Malls, comes to an end at the end of September. Over 100 cars have so far been donated to Maine Public as part of this campaign, and donors have received a $500 thank you reward, which can be applied to any vehicle at any Lee Auto Malls location. For more information, please visit mainepublic.org and click on Support or Events.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Today on the program, exploring the great outdoors safely in Maine. My guest today, Carol Ann Ouellette, who's director of the State Office of Outdoor Recreation. Matthew Polstein, who is owner and operator of the New England Outdoor Center. And Abby Gingras, who's associate editor, audience editor at Outside Magazine. As always, we want to hear from you. We want you to join in this fun conversation on a Friday. Email talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, post to the Facebook page, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Joining us on the line now, Rob Holmes. He's a producer with GLP Films and recently worked on a film about Maine's lakes and mountains region. And we've got that on the Facebook page today for Maine Calling. But right now, Rob, I understand you're on Mount Katahdin and you got a signal. How far up are you?
Well, I'm actually, hi, Jennifer. I'm actually on the Traveler, which is just looking at Katahdin. But I'm in Baxter State Park, and yeah, the peak we're on is the highest volcanic mountain in the state of Maine.
Well, thank you so much for calling us in the middle of your climb. You've made a film highlighting some of the best places in Maine, and you've personally explored many of them. So from the mountain, tell us some of your favorite spots and some of the spots in your film.
Yeah, it was so much fun. We produced two outdoor films. It's part of a whole series of 11 films on Maine, but two of them in particular, they really showcase the outdoor heritage of Maine, of Western Maine in particular. So just had a lot of fun scouting out and honestly just getting out into the community, connecting with people, the backbone. One is on hiking in Western Maine, and then the other is a great story on the Carabasset Valley, really the mecca for mountain biking in Maine. And I think most importantly, both films really showcase the community, the people in these areas, and also just this wonderful outdoor heritage in the state of Maine. And we as Mainers know that, and it's just really fun to share it with others.
Other than Baxter State Park, where do you personally like to get away to?
Well, I just took my kids on a week-long road trip through down east, and I do have to say Down East is just a magical, beautiful, off-the-beaten-path region of Maine, and just so much to explore. I'm excited to go back. But, you know, Maine has so much to offer every region, if it's Baxter, if it's the Moosehead Lake or Western Maine. I mean, there's lots of variety, and every region is different and special in its own way.
Well, Rob, thanks so much for calling. A producer with GLP Films, he's made films about the lakes and mountains region of Maine, and he's calling from The Traveler in Baxter State Park. Thanks so much for calling in. We'll go to Dick calling from Falmouth. Hi, Dick. Go ahead.
Hi there. I just wanted to caution people in the way and also in the state that they really need to be careful when they're taking water out of streams, brooks, and ponds. They really need to filter that water. We've got beaver fever, giardia in the state.
All right. Dick, concern. You're kind of fading in and out here, but issuing a warning about people seeing these streams and thinking the water must be pristine. Matt, I'm sure you echo that warning.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dick, thank you so much for calling in. We'll move on to Norway and Brenda. Hi, Brenda. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. I just wanted to call and share information about the Norway area and the recreational opportunities. We have a public beach on the lake where you can launch a boat. We also have a very active land trust, Western Foothills Land Trust, and they have trails both difficult and easy. And it's a great opportunity for people to get out, and it's relatively close to both Portland and other areas in Maine.
Oh, Brenda, thanks so much for calling. Carol Ann, anything to add? The Norway Paris area.
Yeah, I mean, the Land Trust is, as was noted, is a great place. They're year round. They're actually, I think, preparing themselves for cross country ski season. So that area is beautiful. I mean, to everyone's point, there's just so many things, you know, no matter where you're headed, you know, it's just remarkable across the state. I had a list of all kind of rent a pontoon boat in the lakes region, ATV trail riding in Aroostook, learn to golf. I mean, it's just such a spectacular time to be learning to golf. Whitewater rafting this time of the year is spectacular as well. Fly fishing, you still got striper fishing through the end of September. I mean, so whether you're coastal all the way in and around the state, it is a remarkable amount of things that we have at our fingertips here.
I love that tip about renting a pontoon boat. So you don't have to be in the very best physical, physical shape to do something fun outdoors.
Right. That's so much opportunity. Or you can, paddle the Northern Forest Canoe Trail or the Maine Island Trail. There's all kinds of opportunities.
And Carol Ann, does your office have a website with suggestions and ideas?
So actually, my office, no, specifically, but there's so many other, it was great to hear about Carrie's new outdoor recreation guide, but things like Visit Maine, the parks, Maine Parks and Lands, Maine Trail Finder is a remarkable resource. Bike Maine has got a Where to Ride if you're looking to go, biking. The Maine Land Trust Network, MaineFoliage.com, and then kind of a new initiative, the Adventure Local Maine is a brand new site that's a combination of Maine Outdoor Brands and Back 40 Adventures. So there's some really wonderful experiences there that people can get an idea of where they might want to go and how to connect with guides and different businesses across the state.
All right. Well, we're going to go now to Kathy Murray. Kathy is an integrated pest management entomologist with Maine's Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. Kathy, thank you for joining us. And the reason we asked you is that you have even one more reason that this is a really good time to get outdoors. I understand there aren't as many ticks as there have been in other years recently.
That's right. We're lucky to live in Maine and take advantage of all it has to offer for outdoor activity. And you're right. This year has been so dry that it really does seem to be having a suppressing effect on the activity of some of our biting insects and ticks. But I would always caution people that, you know, we're not out of the danger woods. We really need to pay attention and protect ourselves, even when the population seemed to be somewhat low.
Okay, so give us some advice. We're listening to this program. We're thinking, okay, I haven't hiked in a while, but I really need to get out of the house. I'm going to take one of these suggestions. I'm going to hike Number 5 Mountain or head to Down East Maine. What tips do you have as in terms of keeping the pests away, keeping the insects that carry vector-borne diseases away?
Right. So anytime we're outside, there's always the risk of being bitten by one of those mosquitoes that carries West Nile virus or Eastern equine encephalitis, or being bitten by a tick that carries Lyme disease or Powassan. They're out there. You know, they're lower numbers, but they're out there. And we just want to protect ourselves and make sure that we're doing the best we can to protect ourselves and our kids and our pets from those. And it's pretty simple. Cover up. You know, wear long pants, long sleeves, even on a, well, the weather's getting cooler now, so I don't think that's as much of an issue. But I always take the effort to tuck my pants into my socks. It may sound kind of geeky, but it really is. It's a great way to keep ticks from crawling up or mosquitoes from flying up underneath your pant legs. And then tuck up your shirt into your pants, too. Maybe wear a kerchief around your neck. Maybe consider wearing a hat. So covering up, that's the number one activity. Those ticks especially, they just crawl up. They don't drop down out of the trees or the sky. And so we just prevent them from attaching to us by, you know, preventing them from walking up underneath our pant legs, but just simply tucking our pants into our socks. The other one, of course, is wearing an EPA-approved repellent. There are great resources available on the internet for people to find the repellent that's right for them. We still recommend that DEET is one of the best products. It's considered quite safe. You can put it on children older than 2 months old. For babies, we don't recommend repellents, but they need to be covered up with a mosquito net, for instance. But
all right.
The rest of us. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to thank you. Thank you, Kathy, so much. I'm and you know, it is nice to have a little bit of good news. Drought is not usually good news, but if it's suppressing the tick population this year, that is some good news. Kathy Murray, entomologist with the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry. We'll go to Douglas calling from Rockport. Hi, Douglas. Go ahead.
Hi. How are you today?
Great.
The reason I'm calling is I'm actually a professor of outdoor recreation at Virginia Wesleyan University down in Virginia, but I'm spending the fall here in Rockport. And one thing I just want us to also be just sort of cognizant of is at some point the pandemic's going to go away, and then the challenge is going to be to keep people involved in the outdoors. And historically, we often see this, especially with families, where all of a sudden the parents and the adults start to go back to whatever their old habits were. And oftentimes the children still want to be involved in the outdoors. So right now it's really all about establishing the right habits and making the outdoors part of your way of life and not making this just the antidote to the pandemic, if you will.
Well, Douglas, thanks so much for calling. Do you have tips for families?
Well, I think the most important thing is to make this a family event. If you're going to be in the outdoors, it requires quite a bit of planning oftentimes. So you include the kids in that, and that makes the problem-solving skills a little bit better. But I think the biggest tip is just understanding that there's a community in the outdoors, whether you kayak or you bike or hike, there's a community of people. And even though we've sort of gotten away from the closeness of community, we can still interact with people online. And when the pandemic is over, then we can get together with them again and be a part of that community of people that share similar interests.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. Abby, you meet the nicest people when you're in the outdoors, don't you?
Yeah, you do. I was actually going to echo Douglas and say, I think he brings up such a great point, and that it's really important for everyone who enjoys the outdoors to be really welcoming at this time. And if you see people making mistakes, giving them grace and talking to them in a way that isn't condescending or shaming them for making mistakes. If they're new to the outdoors, they may not know, like, who should step off the trail, if they're going up or down, or where to pack out their trash, or how to go to the bathroom in the woods. Just simple things that, you know, experienced outdoors people know Other people may not, and the more welcoming and helpful we can be at this time, the more these people are going to want to stay in the outdoors.
Douglas, thanks for your call. I'll go to a few comments that are coming in. Diane on Facebook says, state parks on the water, like Moose Point near Belfast and in Lemoyne. So thank you, Diane. That sounds beautiful. Andy, I'm writing to tell listeners about Midcoast Conservancy's Hidden Valley Nature Trail in Jefferson. 1,000 acres, more than 25 miles of trails, including newly created single track trails for mountain biking and groomed ski trails in the winter. 3 year-round cabins and yurts. Hidden Valley Nature Center, a great option for families looking for a backcountry experience convenient to the Midcoast area. Meg on Facebook, we live in the Camden area and believe you can't find a prettier place. However, we love visiting Rangeley in the mountains, but I would never trade them for the ocean. And Kate on Facebook, Aroostook and Washington counties, anywhere north of Bangor are my jam, with an exception made for Screw Auger Falls. So great suggestions, right, Carolyn?
They are. And hi to Andy. So, yeah, those are all great suggestions. And I think often, you know, we tend to think inland for outdoor recreation, but any of the coastal communities, you just think about how much is available in so many of them. And I think it's around us so often, we kind of take it for granted, but from sailing to kayaking to stand-up paddle boarding and even a lot of hiking and biking through those communities as well.
All right, we'll go to Greg calling from Cumberland. Hi, Greg, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. One of the things that's great about Maine is we have so much public land in a private land where we have permissive trespass. If you're new to recreation, apropos of what the other caller was talking about, one thing that can be really difficult is there's really very little signage, particularly if you go up into the northwestern quadrant of the state. We were just up at a great campground called Big Eddie, which is run by Chewonky. But when you get onto the Golden Road, you get onto the Telos Road, there's really very few signs, and there's no services. So, you know, you're not going to have a GPS, you're not going to have cell coverage. And whatever the state can do to help encourage people to at least get accurate maps, if they can read a map to find out what's going on, would be great, because there's so many wonderful trails up there. We were in a cave that had ice in it just a couple weeks ago from last winter. But boy, you know, it can be hard to find this stuff. So it's something that I'd love to hear people comment on. I mean, I did a lot of research and I'm fairly savvy, but, you know, even the gazetteer is not going to mark a lot of those roads.
Oh my gosh, Greg, I'm so glad you brought this up. Anybody who's been lost on some logging roads can relate to your story. Carol Ann, some thoughts for Greg?
Yeah, I mean, he brings up a good point, but there are places to go. I know Maine Trail Finder usually is really good about that, but one of the ways to get more engaged with those that are helping with recreation on private lands, and again, he brings up a really good point. It is a privilege, and we're very lucky. You know, over 94% of Maine is the forest land is privately owned. But North Maine Woods provides a lot of really good information about what's in those areas, and as well, becoming part of the Outdoor Partners Program at Inland Fisheries and Wildlife is another opportunity to connect to more of what's happening on the private lands and what's available. But I would say certainly the North Maine Woods. And Matt, you may have other ideas too.
Well, I just would add, it is private land and it's also a working forest. It may seem like just one big giant recreation area, but people need to be mindful of the fact that there are big logging trucks and a lot of other activities going on. As we get further into the fall, most of this land is open to hunting, so there'll be people hunting, and you have to take those things into consideration. None of them should stop you, but all of them should make you think carefully about how to, you know, protect not only your safety, but the safety of those that are also working and doing other recreational activities in the area.
Greg, thanks for your call. Matt, when do you start wearing Blaze Orange?
I typically will hold off until the open firearm season on deer starts, which is right at the end of the month of September. That tends to be my turning point.
All right. We're going to take another quick break. More of your comments, questions, suggestions for where to get outdoors in the state of Maine. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from the University of New England, with a mission to support healthy people, healthy communities, and a healthy planet, une.edu. And Carlisle Academy's Retreat Center at Spring Creek Farm, an ecological venue for corporate and private events, carlisleacademymaine.com.
Colonel Joe Kittinger Jr. of the United States Air Force became the first man to complete a solo transatlantic crossing by balloon in 1984 when he traveled 3,543 miles, leaving from Caribou aboard Rosie O'Grady's Balloon of Peace, a 3,000 cubic meter Yost GB55 helium-filled balloon. He landed in Montenotte, Italy on September 18, 1984. 86 hours after initial liftoff. Along the way, he experienced temperatures down to minus 20 degrees and flew as high as 22,000 feet. Kittinger said he slept about 2.5 hours in 10-minute increments over the entire flight. The Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum trophy, the museum's highest honor, has been awarded to Kittinger.
On This Day in Maine's History was created in partnership with the Maine Historical Society and made possible through the generous support of Roosevelt Campobello International Park and the Island Institute. Happy birthday, Maine!
Here's the story that New England tells itself. Racism is a Southern problem. But our region's abolitionist past hides a darker history of racism, slavery, and segregation. It's a legacy that lives with us today. Join us for the first in a special series, Racism in New England, from America Amplified and the New England News Collaborative.
And that's coming up this afternoon at 2 o'clock here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today's topic, learning all about the ways to get outside in Maine and how to do it safely. Joining me, Matt Polstein with the New England Outdoor Center, Abby Gingras with Outside Magazine, and Carol Ann Willette with the Office of Outdoor Recreation. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to mainepublictalk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. You know, it's interesting. People move from one part of the state to another part of the state and discover new places. I'm thinking of our operator right now, our Lucy Suchek, who said that she recently discovered Mackworth Island State Park in Falmouth. And anybody who lives in the Portland area and loves Mackworth Island is probably thrilled that Lucy discovered it. But Lucy probably has some recommendations from other parts of the state, too. So I'm hoping that she'll chime in on that. Alexander says a few favorite spots of mine include Number 4 Mountain in Frenchtown Township, Gulf Haggis, and recently I've been exploring a lot of small local land trust trails in Waldo and Hancock County, including those of the Sebasticook Regional Land Trust and Blue Hill Land Trust. Rick on Facebook says, because of COVID, that meant canceling a trip to the Camino de Santiago. I've decided to attempt to climb the 67 4,000 footers in Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont over the next 2 months. We'll be on Baxter next week. That is ambitious. We'll go to Bob calling from out on the water. Hi, Bob. Go ahead.
Hi there. How are you?
Great.
I'm on the deck of Morning in Maine, which sails out of Rockland Harbor. And I just wanted to let you guys know that just east of Maine is the Atlantic Ocean, and it is a beautiful portion of our state. And in my opinion, you haven't seen the state of Maine unless you've seen it from the water.
I think others share your opinion. Thanks so much for calling in. We'll go to Ryan, who's calling from Augusta. Hi, Ryan. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Ryan. I'm the executive director here at Viles Arboretum here in Augusta. And so I thought I'd call and share that our trails are open sunrise to sunset year-round. We have 224 acres with about 6 miles of trails, all free and publicly accessible. So if folks are looking for a nice hike, it's pretty easy to navigate the trails with a stroller, or if you have trouble getting around, we're a good choice for that.
Great. And you're open.
We are open. Yeah. Our visitor center reopened in July after being closed most of the spring. And so folks can stop in and use the restroom, shop our gift shop, and ask questions about the trail.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, Ryan from Viles Arboretum. Lucy did respond on Mount Desert Island, recommending Hunter's Beach. And then from Andrew Catalina, who works with us, Sargent Mountain South Ridge Trail near Mount Desert. So thanks, guys. Thanks, Lucy and Andrew, for joining in today. Rana writes, I purchased an e-bike this summer and have been riding all over my area, which is in the Mid-Coast. I can't say enough about this form of transportation. It is much easier on the hills and allows you to ride many more miles. I've seen more of Maine on my e-bike this summer than I have in years. Carol Ann, we did a program on biking in Maine earlier this summer, and e-bikes are all the rage, aren't they?
They are definitely opening up or reopening the sport to so many. It's remarkable to see, and certainly there's places that are selling them in Maine and starting to rent them in Maine, and you know, what a great way to follow the East Coast Greenway and some of the other areas that are out there. So yeah, that's certainly growing. And it's great to hear Viles Arboretum. I mean, it just makes us remember that there's really remarkable resources in so many of our communities right close to home. And that was really the start of this, I think, Jennifer, when we were back earlier in the spring, was trying to find a place nearby, you know, whether it's, you know, trails, land trust, community forests, places that are right inside your community, community parks. So it's great to hear Viles Arboretum is open and that they're right in Augusta.
An email from Carl. First thing on safety is to check the weather of where you will be before you go and be sure your clothing is up for the job. While we have had late summer warmth this weekend, that all comes to an end in the Whites. This weekend, the daytime temperatures at higher elevations will be in the teens with as low as -10 degree Fahrenheit wind chill. Matt, this is what you were talking about earlier.
Absolutely. It's a quick change this year, and I think people really probably will be lulled into the warmth and security that this summer has provided in terms of weather. It's been a really dry, in fact, dangerously dry summer, which is another issue people need to consider. If you're thinking about lighting a fire outside at this time of year, you really want to be very careful. Only do that in designated fire spots and really think twice if the wind's blowing, because our woods are drier than they've been in many, many years.
Thanks for that tip. And we know, we've been seeing, if we've been watching the news all too well, the danger out there. Going to Chris, who's calling from Waldoboro. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi. I'm just come off the water. I'm from Penobscot, Musconetus Bays, and it's kind of apropos you talk about fire. We, my wife and I spent a week just poking around the islands, and in Musconetus Bay, we were walking the shoreline on a fairly remote island in the bay that's also a popular camping site, and my wife looked in the woods and saw smoke, and about 100 feet in the woods, there was a campsite, and there was had been a fire there. And it was had been burning probably for a couple of days. The duff layer had burned down 6 or 8 inches. And there was an area probably 10 feet by 20 feet. And there were still flames and embers. And so we didn't have the buckets to put it out. We called the Friendship Fire Department, and they sent a few people out. But it's a real lesson. You don't leave a fire but first of all, in the woods, when it's so dry, you know, you can have that island is privately owned, but and there was no one on the island. So the fire department said the island would have burned up once. This was on Tuesday, and by Wednesday, when it was howling winds, it would have picked up, they thought. And so, lesson, if you're going to have a fire, make sure you put it out before you leave, particularly in this dry weather.
Well, Chris, thanks goodness that you came across that, and thank you for that, sharing that story, and that's just what you were talking about, Matt.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. Alicia on Facebook writes, Teens to Trails is helping build community amongst high school students through outdoor activities such as local hikes and even outdoor classrooms right now. But under other conditions, we host other overnight trips to some of Maine's most iconic locations that our students deserve to have a firsthand relationship with. They are not just for visitors. And I like that point, Alicia, that these places are not just for visitors. Greg on Facebook says, a great resource for Maine, the Hammond Ridge Trail System, which leaves from Matt's New England Outdoor Center property. Great mountain biking near Millinocket. We'll go to Eric from Casco. Hi, Eric. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm calling about the wonderful opportunities we have in southern Maine that are so close to nature and amongst the large population in southern Maine. I'm with a land trust, Loon Echo Land Trust, where I'm one of the stewards of our properties. And they're private property. We welcome the public. They've been acquired through public support, and these lands are there for us to appreciate, but we also have to do stewardship on the land. With overcrowding of some of our trails, we understand people want to go there, and we provide the facilities so that they can use the land, a parking lot, for example, if needed. But the goal is to protect nature, so it's there for people to appreciate. So when the parking lot is filled to capacity, we encourage people not to park along the road, not to park in people's driveways. We also appreciate the environment around us, our neighborhood, and we want to keep the neighbors friendly. So when it's filled to capacity, there might be another site where someone could go to hike and think about other times or other places. But there's lots of opportunity. We want to keep them available by managing the flow, and everybody can help do that.
Well, Eric, thanks so much. Great tips about your local land trust today. We just have a couple minutes left. And Caroline, I want to turn to you. Earlier, a couple months ago, we did a show on Maine Calling about the Great American Outdoors Act that since then has been signed into law. What is that going to mean for Maine's outdoor places?
So it's very exciting. And I'd say one of the biggest things, certainly it's going to help our public national public lands and deferred maintenance, but also the Land and Water Conservation Fund is now fully enacted and fully funded. So that provides opportunities for communities across the state and as well as state properties to build new, do renovations, do upgrades. So that's very important. There'll be more money in that piece, but then we'll also have to work on finding more money to help communities in the state do match to those projects. So, but great opportunity and very exciting to see it pass.
All right. My coworker Andrew Catalina says now, also a plug for my local trails. Greater Waterville's got something like 30 miles of trail, and most of them pretty secluded for being in town. The point being, Matt, you don't have to head out into the wilderness.
I think that's a great point. And to that point, right now in the Catawba region, we're actually building a bike trail that is within 100 feet of the high school to try to get people in town to recreate close to where they live and give them a taste of what's available just outside their town's boundaries.
Great. We have a tweet. Geocaching can really help spark an interest in children getting into the outdoors. I still do it even if the kids are grown, and they still ask me if there are geocaches around us. Abby, what is a geocache?
I've actually never heard of that. I'd be so curious to learn more.
Oh, really? Okay. I know about it. Matt, Caroline, which one of you is going to jump in?
I'm happy to take that. A geocache is it's a surprise or a treat that you can find at the end of a process using your compass or your GPS to follow a point of coordinates and clues that will lead you to that prize. It is a huge amount of fun, and there's quite a following, and there's quite a collection of these little trinkets, if you will, scattered throughout the state of Maine and around the world that people can go to look for.
All right. Well, that's going to be the last word. Thank you so much to our guest today on this Friday. And I invite people who have more to add to go to today's Facebook post and just in the comment section, make a little note of your favorite place or your favorite thing to do outdoors in Maine. Abby Gingras is associate editor at Outside Magazine. She helped work on a special feature on New England's outdoor recreation with Down East Magazine. Carol Ann Ouellette, the director of the Maine Office of Outdoor Recreation, and Matt Polstein, owner and operator of the New England Outdoor Center. Lucy Suchek ran the board today. Today's program will be rebroadcast at 7. Our theme song was composed by Mike Jandro. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.